The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And we have engine start. And liftoff. Décollage, liftoff from a tropical rainforest to the edge of time itself. James Webb begins a voyage back to the birth of the universe.
Looks like a successful launch for the James Webb telescope. Not entirely sure why it was launched from a South American jungle, given that the United States provided most of the funding. But it is an international project, and of course Joel Hilliker has been writing a fair bit about this, even in his Trumpet brief, I believe, on Friday. So we'll on today's show we'll get into some of the things the church, God's family, has talked about with respect to the Hubble telescope, which was launched 30-some years ago. And now we have this. Pretty exciting. We're hoping, of course, that it makes it to its destination successfully. And we start seeing some images come back in a few months from now. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream of this show through our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And the live video stream is available exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream page and also to the podcasts that are posted after the fact. So I mentioned the Hubble telescope from 30-some years ago, and my father has said over the years that he felt like God had a hand in the launch of that telescope. He said that images coming from Hubble should set our imaginations on fire. That's something he said back in 2013 on a Key of David program. He said that these images would be a major way that we get to know God and that we know more about our future. It really does, like Romans 1 says, it really does reveal. It reveals the great creator behind the creation, the one who brought it all into existence. Going back to 2009, there was a commencement. My father gave a commencement address here at Armstrong College at the end of the school year in 2009. And he said that the window that Hubble opened should fill a human being with real joy. And we certainly need to be filled with joy, particularly when we're looking at this world and all of the darkness and all of the evil and the filth and squalor and violence and division and strife. There's a reason the prophet Isaiah, there's a reason that Jesus Christ, both of them said, lift up your eyes, look up into the heavens. And it's interesting, isn't it, that right as the Philadelphia Church of God was coming on the scene in the early part of 1990, up goes the Hubble telescope. And my father has stated before that he feels like this is not a coincidence. Listen to what he said. This is from the commencement in 2009 and then later played on a Key of David program, clip 7.
The Philadelphia Church of God began proclaiming its message January 1990. And 4 months later, up went the Hubble telescope. Now, we have been explaining that, really, and talking about it and writing about it for years, and I believe explaining it. But you have two entities here. And do you think maybe the timing there is not coincidence?
That's my father from 2009. And now we fast forward 31 years, almost 32 years, and here this has been a 25-year project. Joel Hilliker brought this out in his Trumpet brief Friday. A $10 billion project, and going on for 25 years, this launch, this telescope, it's on a journey that's going to stretch 1 million miles out into the universe and then the pictures and the images to come back from that, assuming everything goes well. There's, like Mr. Hilliker said, there's a million things that could go wrong with this project. Just a quote from his trumpet brief on Friday. He said, 1,000 things could go wrong and render the whole project fruitless. But if they all go right, the telescope will begin sending scientific images back to Earth in late March and become fully operational in June, showing us infrared light that originated billions of light years away, exoplanets and other images and data revealing more about the universe and its history. It says NASA is more than a little nervous and more than a little excited, to say the least. I mean, this is going to allow mankind to explore and to view the universe like never before. And God wants us to set our eyes, our minds, our hearts on the things above, like Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 say. This is a wonderful booklet right here, by the way, our awesome universe potential. If you want to understand why it's all out there, what it's for, why God made it, this is an excellent place to start. I mentioned last week on the program, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. You can also request Mr. Armstrong's other books, The Incredible Human Potential. And he's got quite a lot in the final chapter of Mystery of the Ages about man's potential, about how that Operation Earth, it's going to stretch out into the universe. There's passages in your Bible, like Isaiah 9 and Romans 8, that bear this out. I'll give you another quote here. This is from our awesome universe potential. It says here, some scientists believe that the greatest development of the past century was the Hubble Space Telescope. It says Hubble makes about 20,000 observations per year. It has recorded more than 500,000 pictures over the past two decades, which NASA has released to astronomers all over the world to study and to us to marvel at. It says every month Hubble produces 70 gigabytes of data, which is enough to fill 70 complete sets of encyclopedias. That's just Hubble. And Hubble, I mean, that's nothing now compared to James Webb, this new one. Hubble, I guess, could be compared to an old flip phone. But now you've got this new technology. It's really going to open a window into the heavens like never before. Again, assuming everything goes smoothly. It says here, every month, well, further on, these dazzling images inspire some penetrating questions. Where does it end? Where did it all come from? Is there any meaning behind it all? Why is it here? Why, for that matter, am I here? Why are we here? These are penetrating insights or questions that we should be curious about. It says here, this telescope is the most impressive of an array of tools that are helping us coax the cosmos into revealing its secrets and mysteries. This is, again, talking about Hubble. It says here, and the more we study and the more we learn, the stronger the evidence becomes of an absolutely remarkable truth. There is an author of the cosmos, and he intended for us to be able to study the stars to help us come to know him. God intended for us to study the stars. David was peering into the universe in Psalm 8 and asked, "What is man that you're even mindful of him? Why should you be concerned about or care about man?" And the Apostle Paul picked up this theme in Hebrews 2, even expanding upon some of the questions that David asked. Psalm 8, Hebrews 2, Romans 1, Romans 8. Listen to this from my father's commencement address, again, back in 2009, clip 8.
I want to read you one scripture tonight. In Hebrews 2 and verse 8, it says, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Doesn't sound like a Big Bang theory there. And the Weymouth New Testament reads this way, "For this subjecting of the universe to man." Now they talk about giving man the universe, but God literally says, I am going to give you the universe, all mankind. I'm going to give you the universe. But not yet. There's something we have to learn. Something we have to understand. I've mentioned before that when they were here on this earth before Hubble was launched, they saw a lot of black spaces out in the universe. And they, once they sent the Hubble telescope up there, they realized, they saw then, well, those were clusters of galaxies, at least 1,500 of them. And each galaxy had 100 billion stars.
Pretty amazing to think about what the James Webb telescope might now open up to our understanding. What an exciting time. If you understand God's truth, if you understand that the return of Jesus Christ to this earth is near, it's even at the doors. And if you understand what our incredible human potential is, Mr. Hilliker in that trumpet brief on Friday, he said, we take it for granted that the universe operates in a grand celestial clockwork of inexorable perfect laws. Yes, there is law and order. Now, there's a lot of tohu and bohu, or waste and decay, because of angelic rebellion out there in the universe. But that's about to change. God will fulfill his purpose for the heavens. But think about the laws that scientists today just take for granted. Inexorable laws. It says here, that's why we build things like space telescopes. That's how we build them. I mean, there were scientists, I forget how many were working on this project over the past 25 years, but they're building this telescope, and they studied into the launch of it and its journey over 1 million miles, as Mr. Hilliker said. And there were definite laws of physics that they had to study and know before they launched this device into the heavens. It says here, even as they deny God's existence, modern scientists base all their thinking about the history, present, and future of the universe on the fact that it operates by perfect, finely tuned laws. You see, really, these kinds of technologies, they should be bringing us closer to God. In fact, it's just the opposite. We worship the creation. We worship these physical things, even as we, in some cases, deny the existence of God, our maker, the creator of the universe. It says here, and they build their discoveries on the discoveries of scientists who knew scientific laws came from the one lawgiver. That's brought out, by the way, in the new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis. Mr. Hilliker has plugged that recently as well. But all of these scientists of old that would actually look at scriptures like in Romans 1 or Romans 8 or Hebrews 2, and it would make them ponder some of the bigger questions, and it actually fueled their quest for scientific discovery. Not so today. We're too sophisticated. We're much too smart. Much smarter than Isaac Newton or some of those scientists of old who happened to believe in God. How many, even as the windows of heaven open to our understanding, how many intellectuals will look at all of this incredible technology, this magnificent creation, and then say, well, we know that God doesn't exist. It all just happened. They take these laws for granted. I've given this quote before. We use it in our doctrines class. It's from a book called Civilization Past and Present. And notice how many laws are stated here. They're just taken for granted, basically. Our own galaxy, which we remember is but a tiny part of the universe, has probably existed a million years, so they're not sure on those kinds of dates. But it says here, but some progress has been made in attempting to explain how and when the sun and the nine planets came into being. The study of the solar system gives us at least a clue to the origin of that part of the universe most important to us, the Earth. Really, what you can see throughout here is a lot of, you know, maybes and probablys. Herbert Armstrong used to point this out, saying that this is how the experts speak. Then you look into the Bible and you see how that God speaks with emphatic zeal. He speaks as an authority, and he should. He's the maker. He's the creator. In contrast, you have the experts of today that base so many of their conclusions on suggestions, probabilities, and so on. And at the same time, as Mr. Hilliker brought out Friday, they take for granted the fact that there is a solar system, that there are definite laws like the law of gravitation. They acknowledge a lot of these laws in passing, even as they say that God doesn't exist. Notice James 4 and verse 12. It says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges another? See, the very existence of these laws absolutely demands that there is a lawgiver, that there is a watchmaker, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, that there's a design. I have to wind up this watch. It's not a battery-operated one. I wind it up every day. And it's got a see-through covering on the inside of it so that you can see the inner workings of it. There is a mind that put it together. There was a mind that created it. There's a mind that makes it work, that makes it reliable as a watch, to keep watch on time as it passes each day. There is a watchmaker who created the universe, a watchmaker, so to speak. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy. Who are you that judges another? See, God is that great lawgiver. Notice Romans 1, this is verse 19. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things, verse 20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We're without excuse. I mean, if this new telescope takes us even far beyond the Hubble telescope from 30 years ago, there is no excuse for our rejection of God and his laws, his holy, righteous, immutable laws. It's pretty amazing to think about these advances in technology. Well, it's the paradox that Herbert Armstrong spoke of so often. All of these advances in technology, all of this progress, just looking at it in the materialistic sense, and yet the corresponding advance and spread of evil. It's like Genesis 6. Jesus said it would be just like the days before the flood, with man's mind and hearts on evil continually and violence just spreading over the earth. And here we've got this glorious future ahead of us. We've got the whole universe waiting for the first fruits, waiting for the birth of God's children, waiting for God's family. This is all brought out in Romans 8. I don't have time to get into every single one of these passages. But look, there is such a thing as science, falsely so called, as Paul said. But there's also such a thing as true science. God is a scientist. And if it's true science, it reveals more about God, the maker, the creator. The modern scientist today like for you to believe that it's, you know, it's either one or the other. It's either God on the one hand, or it's, you know, the scientific experts. God is the author of true science, Psalm 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." It says here, "Day after day utters speech, and night after night shows knowledge." That word utters speech or shows knowledge, the meaning there is that it pours forth. It can even mean prophesy. In other words, the universe is there. The heavens are prophesying. That's why God had a hand in that Hubble Space Telescope liftoff back in 1990. And this is why we're keeping a close watch on the new telescope, just launched over the weekend. God's universe is constantly pouring forth prophecy. It's constantly teaching us. It's showing us. It's showing us more about God, just like Romans 1 and verse 20 says. The invisible things declare God's creation, the invisible hand behind it all. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. We can see a lot about the invisible by looking at what is visible, what God has created, what God has made. Notice Isaiah 45. This is verse 18. It says, "For thus says the Eternal that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he that established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Eternal, and there is none else." God didn't create it all in vain. Now, it became wasted and decayed because of angelic rebellion. And you can get into a study of Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, and see what happened there between those first two verses. Herbert Armstrong gets into that in The Incredible Human Potential. But God didn't make it all in vain. You don't look into the heavens and see all these dead planets and think, well, what is that for? Why did he even make it? There's a purpose. And that will be realized before this is all said and done. Once God's family goes out into the universe, spreads God's family living, God's creative ways all throughout the universe. Notice Psalm 8. This is verse 1. It says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens?" It says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have you ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger." It says in verse 3, "When I consider your heavens," this is David meditating and writing about God's creation, "when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man?" Verse 4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" David looked into the heavens and then began to ponder the big questions in life. What is man? Why are we here? Why should this little tiny planet called Earth, why should it be populated with human beings? And all the others are just dead and waste and empty. And there's a reason, and you can get to the understanding of that in the pages of your Bible. God's revealed word, the truth of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's plenty of science in this book. There's a lot about the universe. There's even names of stars and such in the Bible. What does that tell you about some of the great patriarchs of old and what God revealed to them and what they understood about the heavens? Individuals that didn't have the James Webb telescope to peer through, or the Hubble telescope. I mean, we're without excuse today. Listen again to what my father said at that 2009 commencement, clip 9.
Isaiah 9, verse 7 is just another scripture where God says there's no end to the government and peace of God. There's going to be no end to it. It's just going to go on and on and on. And what does that mean? Well, it must mean there's endless space out there. And maybe God is in the process of making an endless universe. Maybe he already has. I mean, there's, I guess there are questions we'll have to let God answer for us. But God has something in mind that just goes on forever. And little men with little minds can't comprehend that. The only way we can comprehend it is let God give us another spirit to work with our human spirit, and then we can begin to understand. It's too big for the mind of man.
We've been talking in recent programs about that other spirit, the Holy Spirit, that joins together with our human spirit so that we can then understand, read and study Romans 6, 7, and 8, 1 Corinthians 2. Read about, study into this Holy Spirit of God. I told you last week about Jesus Christ being filled with that Spirit and how that he was so discerning, he was so spiritually minded that he could tell when there was a drain on the supply. Even when one woman touched the hem of his garment and was healed from head to toe from a years-long illness. That's the Spirit that we want to be seeking after daily, asking God for more of the Spirit, asking God for more faith. Just like the disciples did when Jesus was with them, they said, Lord, help us to have faith. Show us how to live faith-filled lives. In the book of James, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, godly wisdom, ask. We've got to go to the source. We've got to ask God to open our minds to understand these truths, to understand our future, to understand our purpose for being. Lift up your eyes, said Jesus. Look into the heavens. Set your minds on the things above, said Paul. The prophet Isaiah, he said the same thing. My father, by the way, he had an article, again, years ago. Lift up your eyes. He talked in that piece about Neil Armstrong and the moon landing from the late 1960s. And he said how that one event, it just galvanized the entire earth. All nations. Well, maybe the fact that this new telescope, that it was to some degree an international project, maybe it will get the attention of multiple nations. I suspect, though, that today, unlike the 1960s, with all of the other gadgets, with all of the other technologies that we're just immersed into, I saw in Richard's news stack today, TikTok, that's surpassed Google now in terms of views. Billions and billions of views. And what does TikTok produce? Mostly just kind of stupid videos. Short, stupid videos for the most part. And people love it. People can't get enough of it. Most people, they probably have no idea that this telescope launched into the heavens on Saturday. And that's another thing, too. I can't remember. I mean, I've been away from the U.S. for the past 6-7 years. But just the all-in obsession with the traditions of men, like Christmas, they're not grounded in the Bible. You know this if you've watched this program before. But the obsession with these traditions that trace all the way back to ancient Babylon, and people talk, commentators talk about them as if, well, this is the tradition that built America. Is it really? Let's get into God's mind. Let's get into God's truth. Let's get into God's traditions. Let's get into God's creation. Let's get into God's purpose. Isaiah 40, verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things that brings out their host by number? He calls them all by names, it says, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one fails. The great omnipotent God, the great creator God. He created and sustains our vast universe, which runs with precision like a master clock. There is a watchmaker. There is a clockmaker. And the invisible things of God, like we read earlier, they can be known if we just look into the heavens. If we just look at God's creation and consider his handiwork. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to order this wonderful booklet, Our Awesome Universe Potential, call our operators. They're standing by even as we speak. The toll-free number, if you're in the United States and Canada, the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. You can also submit some feedback to the show if you'd like. The email address, it's td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. The booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
Yeah, it's been quite the investment for those that are in bed with Big Pharma. Quite the moneymaker, these vaccines. And you see how, can you see why we need to lift up our eyes? Can you see why we need to set our minds on the things above and not on earthly things? All those statements are from this year. You see how the vaccine messaging, it just changes from one day to the next. And it doesn't even faze them, the fact that they got it spectacularly wrong back in March, April, May, when they said, you're protected. I mean, we've got 95% protection rate here. You're not going to get sick. You're not going to be hospitalized. And you're certainly not going to die. Not if you get this vaccine, not if you get this super drug that wasn't even tested. I saw a commercial over the weekend, a hilarious commercial. If it's not so painfully true, it's one of those drugs. I forget what the name of the drug was, but it does. It's the first 75% of the commercial. This is a super drug. I mean, this will change your life. This makes everything better. And then they get to all of the side effects that they read rapidly at the very end. Have you heard these? I mean, it's hilarious. Why would anybody take this? If it can lead to this, if it can lead to depression, to suicidal thoughts, why would you take the drug? Those kinds of commercials, they're a dime a dozen. They're all over TV. But this one, this vaccine comes along, and we're just supposed to pretend that over 20,000 cases have been submitted to the VAERS website. 20,000 vaccine deaths. Oh, there are side effects. And they're updated each week at the CDC site. The CDC! Its own website. 17,900 more reports from the week of December 17 to December 24. These were updated on Friday. So nearly 18,000 more adverse reaction reports filed to the VAERS website. 378 more deaths last week. Just add another 378 deaths. 1,552 more admitted for urgent care into the hospital. And the messaging all throughout 2021, we're coming to the end of this calendar year, and we've got some more montages for you, like the one we just played. I'm not sure who created that, by the way. I should have tried to give them credit, but in any event, it's not our website, or it's not our production. But it is quite revealing, isn't it, to hear them back in the early part of this year singing praises. Listen to Rachel Maddow. She said this on March 29th, clip 2.
Instead of the virus being able to hop from person to person to person, potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way, now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to go get more people. That means the vaccines will get us to the end of this if we just go fast enough to get the whole population vaccinated.
The vaccines are getting us to the end of this, she said back in March. Yesterday, there were 54,000 new cases of COVID in New York alone. 54,000. It was 50,000 Friday, 50,000 Saturday, and then a new record. 54,000? COVID like never before? At the end of December in 2021. And after she said this, I love how she says, now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops. It stops with every vaccinated person. Now we know. It reminds me of the clips I played for you last week. CNN has confirmed. We have confirmed the first Omicron death. They talk about facts. They talk about what they've confirmed, what they now know. And then they're proven wrong just weeks later. And it doesn't faze them. They don't bat an eye. They just get up in front of the camera and change the message. Well, we've learned from Israel that now you need a booster. We've learned from Israel or some other country. After two jabs, a few months in, it wears off. So you can get the virus. That's why you need a booster. That's why you need more shots. It never ends with these people. No wonder. No wonder we ought to lift up our eyes. That was Rachel Maddow from the end of March 2021. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. She said that if you're vaccinated, you can't get the COVID and you can't transmit it to someone else, which is totally false. Listen to what she said more recently, Rachel Maddow. This is from last week, clip 3.
If you have been putting off being vaccinated for whatever reason, don't agonize about it. Don't let anybody make you feel bad about that and, you know, get you defensive about it. Just make a fresh decision now. Now is the time to actually go do it. Because we really cannot afford you having to go to the hospital right now. If you're unvaccinated, you have a much higher chance of getting this newly transmissible variant we had never seen before a couple of weeks ago. And it's the unvaccinated people who it's going to make sick. And we really just cannot afford for you to have to go to the hospital right now. I mean, looking all around the country, depending on where you live, there is a very good chance there's no room for you in the hospital right now if you need to go. And if you can somehow get a bed because you got COVID and you got sick from it because you weren't vaccinated, if you are able to get yourself into a bed, you're going to be filling a bed that somebody else really needs. So even if you didn't feel like you could do it before, even if you've been holding off for whatever reason, look at it freshly now. Now would be the time. Even if it wasn't okay for you before, it's okay for you to do it now. Honestly, your country needs you.
How about if you look at it freshly now? Since you got it wrong in March, how about if you look at the vaccine and think, well, hang on a second, why is it spreading? And why are the outbreaks happening in large part in the Northeast, where you've got all these blue state governors and these vaccine mandates? If they had 54,000 new infections in Florida yesterday, you think you'd be hearing about that? You certainly would be, because that's DeSantis. And he's eliminated all the mandates. And cases have plummeted there. She's calling on her viewers to look at this freshly. She ought to heed her own advice. But like you heard in that montage, they don't look at it freshly. They don't come back and learn from their mistakes. They just tweak the messaging as they go. And it always comes back to this. Just get the vaccine. There's no side effects. Everything's perfect. And you listen to the commercials about every other drug that's made by Big Pharma. And they've got to tack on at the end. They've got to qualify it at the end. Now, just so you know, this also has a long string of side effects that can happen. So consult with your doctor. No time for that now. No. Just get the jab. Everybody get the jab. You may have seen the footage of this crazy woman on a Delta flight, just right in the face, punching an older man because he pulled his mask down to eat on a flight. And so she, and this shows you that it has nothing to do with about stopping the spread. She, in order to confront him right into his face, she pulls her mask down to berate him for not having his mask up. You see pictures like this all the time. I saw another video clip from Australia. This man being forcibly removed from a store down there because he didn't have his mask on. And the guy talking to him, he's got the mask down at his chin. You can see his nose, his mouth's moving. And again, he's right in his face. You get out of here. You don't have a mask on. See, this is about power. This is about authoritarianism. This is about communism. This is about the power of the state. to impose all of these mandates to rob you of your freedoms. They don't care about the disease. They're not concerned about spreading the... If so, that woman on the Delta flight would have her mask fully in place and she'd be standing a good 6 feet away from the man and yelling at him then. As it was, boy, she lost it. And she was right in that man's face to criticize him for what she was actually doing in the heat of that moment. Lift up your eyes. I should say we should. This is from, it's actually not too recent. It's from back in September. We've talked about the excess deaths. Here again, let's take Rachel Maddow's advice and look at this freshly now. Okay, let's step back. We've had the vaccine for a full year, 500 jabs. CNN's got the ticker, by the way. 204 million Americans have been jabbed. Last year, the ticker was COVID deaths. This year, we have more COVID deaths, but that ticker's gone. Now it's the vaccine ticker. Now you've got Joe Scarborough and Mika, and then the 204 million in the bottom right corner of the TV screen. Because you got to know, it's all about the vaccine. It's all about who's vaccinated. That's the messaging now. And it doesn't matter how much the evidence comes in about the adverse reactions to the vaccine. It's not going to change anything. If anything, you're just going to hear the message that we need more. We need more of this experimental drug. We need more of this experimental gene therapy. You may have seen, again, reports of these soccer players collapsing. 49-year-old editor at the New York Times bragging about the booster shot he got on December 16th. I'm ready for Omicron now. And then the next day, he dies of a heart attack. 49 years old. Seems like we're having a lot of cardiac arrest. From Rice University in September, says, since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, deaths attributed to many other health conditions have spiked in the U.S. Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, for example, have killed far more Americans than would be expected in pre-pandemic years. So a lot of this data is from last year, and this was before the vaccine. So again, it's not all vaccine-related, but are the vaccines helping? They're certainly not helping get rid of COVID. If you come at that from a fresh perspective, you have to admit this. You see it in the way they change the messaging. Of course it's not getting rid of COVID like they said that it would in March. So now they've changed the message. Just keep getting the boosters. And you may still get sick, but you'll probably not die. So there you go. It says in Texas, for example, when you tally the number of people who died of heart disease or hypertension between December 2019 and August 2021, so here's some data from actually this year too, it says you would expect to see about 53,000 total deaths based on the average from previous year's CDC data. Indeed, 60,264 Texans died of these afflictions during this time, about 7,500 more than would have been expected in a non-pandemic year. That's just in Texas. 7,500 more deaths. From what? From heart disease, hypertension, that sort of thing. It says here, since last year, the Journal of American Medical Association and other publications have warned that official counts are underestimating the number of deaths associated with the pandemic. Ongoing studies indicate the number of people who would not have died in any other year has been undercounted by 20 to 36%. Now, you know how that the VAERS site as well, the actual cases of adverse reactions are underreported. We don't know by how much, but we just know there's a lot of excess death. Even this year, not just last year. Of course, last year, right at the outset of this so-called pandemic, scamdemic would be a better word, plandemic would be a good word, came from a lab. And the vaccine, it came from a lab too. All of this, man-made. God says, look up into the heavens. There is something better coming. Listen to this report. You wonder if this guest on the roundtable on this CBS Face the Nation discussion, you wonder if she might have been chastised a bit after the statement that she just comes right out and says. And as she says this, remember what we said way back at the start of 2020. The cure is worse than the disease. The cure is killing us. This is clip six.
For me, I mean, my kids hear me rant about this every day, so I may as well tell you guys. It's the crushing impact that our COVID policies have had on young kids and children. Mm-hmm. By far, you know, the least serious risk for serious illness. But I mean, even teenagers, you know, a healthy teenager has a 1 in a million chance of getting and dying from COVID, which is way lower than, you know, dying in a car wreck on a road trip. But they have suffered and sacrificed the most, especially kids in underrepresented at-risk communities. And now we have the Surgeon General saying there's a mental health crisis mm-hmm. among our kids. The risk of suicide attempts among girls now up 51% this year. Black kids nearly twice as likely as white kids to die by suicide. I mean, school closures, lockdowns, cancellation of sports. You couldn't even go on a playground in the D.C. area without cops scurrying, shooing the kids off. Tremendous negative impact on kids, and it's been an afterthought. Yeah. You know, it's hurt their dreams, their future, learning loss, risk of abuse, their mental health. And now with our knowledge, our vaccines, if our policies don't reflect a more measured and reasonable approach for our children, mm-hmm. they will be paying for our generation's decisions the rest of their lives. And that, to me, is the greatest underreported story of the past year.
The greatest underreported story of the past year. The damage that this is doing to our children, who have 1 in a million chance of getting and dying from COVID. 1 in a million! But we lock it down. We put in place vaccine mandates. Even as the data's now in. Okay, let's take Rachel Maddow's advice here and look at this freshly. We've had the lockdowns. We've had the mask mandates. We've had the vaccine. We've had the triple and quadruple vaccine. We've had the vaccine mandates. And our children are suffering. What kind of a world when it knows the damage being done, just continues right on. Says, hey, yeah, let's jab the five-year-olds. Let's keep the schools shut. Let's make them double mask. Let's make them put on a mask for 7 hours. What a world. You want to put your hope and your trust and your faith in this world or in the world to come? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes into the heaven and understand and know what God is working out here below. Let me finish with Isaiah 40, the verse we read in the first segment. The prophet says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.